Today on Tristan Storytime, we take a closer look at the story of a little old woman who lived in a shoe. Then we read about a girl who refuses to spin in The Three Spinners. No spin here. Next, a mother crab tries to teach a young crab how to walk forwards instead of sideways in The Young Crab and His Mother, followed by a visit from Mary and her little lamb. And finally, Robert Louis Stevenson takes us up on a swing in the timeless classic poem, The Swing. That's next on Tristan Storytime. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Tristan Storytime. I'm your host, Tristan Gardner, and I'm certainly glad you could join me today. We've got some great stories picked out, and I want to extend an invitation to use your imaginations as I read them. So without any further ado, let's get the show on the road. In other words, on with the stories! Have you ever heard of the nursery rhyme that features a little old woman who lived in a shoe? Well, I'll give you a little preview using part of that nursery rhyme, which goes like this. There was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But here's a twist. This story is actually similar to Jack and the Beanstalk, which we read together last season. I'll show you what I mean as I read the story of The Little Old Woman Who Lived in a Shoe. Once upon a time, there was a little old woman who lived in a shoe. This shoe stood near a great forest and was so large that it served as a house for the little old lady and all her children, of which she had so many that she did not know what to do with them. But the little old woman was very fond of her children, and they only thought of the best way to please her. Strong Arm, the eldest, cut down trees for firewood. Peter made baskets of wickerwork, Mark was chief gardener, Lizzie milked the cow, and Jenny taught the younger children to read. Now this little old woman had not always lived in a shoe. She and her family had once dwelt in a nice house covered with ivy, and her husband was a woodcutter, like Strong Arm. But there lived in a huge castle beyond the forest a fierce giant who one day came and laid their house in ruins with his club, after which he carried off the poor woodcutter to his castle beyond the forest. When the little old woman came home, her house was in ruins and her husband was nowhere to be seen. Night came on. And as the father did not return, the old lady and her family went to search for him. When they came to that part of the wood where the giant had met their father, they saw an immense shoe. They spent a long time weeping and calling out for their father, but met with no reply. Then the old lady thought that they had better take shelter in the shoe until they could build a new house. So Peter and Strong Arm put a roof to it and cut a door and turned it into a dwelling. Here they all lived happily for many years, but the little old lady never forgot her husband and his sad fate. Strong Arm, who saw how wretched his mother often was about it, proposed to the next 11 brothers that they should go with him and set their father free from the giant. Their mother knew the giant's strength and would not hear of the attempt, as she feared they would be killed. But Strong Arm was not afraid. He bought a dozen sharp swords, and Peter made as many strong shields and helmets, as well as crossbows and iron-headed arrows. They were now quite ready. Strong Arm gave the order to march, and they started for the forest. The next day, they came in sight of the giant's castle. Strong Arm, leaving his brothers in a wood close by, strode boldly up to the entrance and seized the knocker. The door was opened by a funny little boy with a large head who kept grinning and laughing. Strongarm then walked boldly across the courtyard and presently met a page who took off his hat and asked him what he wanted. Strongarm said he had come to liberate his father, who was kept a prisoner by the giant. On this, the little man said he was sorry for him, because the part of the castle in which his father was kept was guarded by a large dragon. Strongarm, nothing daunted, soon found the monster, who was fast asleep. So he made short work of him by sending his sword right through his heart, at which he jumped up, uttering a loud scream, and made as if he would spring forward and seize Strongarm. But the good sword had done its work, and the monster fell heavily on the ground, dead. Now the giant, who had been drinking much wine, was fast asleep in a remote part of the castle. Strongarm had no sooner finished the dragon than up started the funny little boy who had opened the door. He led Strongarm round to another part of the courtyard, where he saw his poor father, who at once sprung to his feet and embraced him. Then Strongarm called up his brothers, and when they had embraced their father, they soon broke his chain and set him free. We must now return to the little old woman. After her sons had started, she gave way to the most bitter grief. While she was in this state, an old witch came up to her and said she would help her, as she hated the giant and wished to kill him. The old witch then took the little old lady on her broom and sailed off through the air straight to the giant's castle. Now this old witch had great power, and at once afflicted the giant with corns and tender feet. When he awoke from his sleep, he was in such pain that he could bear it no longer, so he thought he would go in search of his missing shoe, which, like the other one he had in his castle, was easy and large for his foot. When he came to the spot where the old lady and her children lived, he saw his old shoe, and with a laugh that shook the trees, he thrust his foot into it, breaking the roof that Strongarm and Peter had put on it. The children, in great alarm, rushed about inside the shoe, and frightened and trembling, scrambled through the door and the slits which the giant had formerly made for his corns. By this time, the witch and the little old lady, as also Strongarm, his 11 brothers and his father, were coming to the spot. Strongarm and his brothers shot their arrows at him till at last he fell wounded, when Strongarm went up to him and cut off his head. Then the father and the little old woman and all their children built a new house and lived happily ever afterwards. See, I told you there were a few twists in this story. You see, if I were in the old lady's shoes, I wouldn't know what to do either. But at least there was a happy ending. Don't move a muscle. There are more stories to come as Tristan Storytime continues. This fairy tale relates to Rumpelstiltskin in so many ways. The similarities include a little girl and spinning wheels. But the difference is that there will be three ugly women instead of one weird little man. Plus, instead of straw, there will be flax. And this little girl, although beautiful like the girl in Rumpelstiltskin, is very, very lazy. In addition, this fairy tale is a great way to celebrate our third season. So let's open up more of Mother's Nursery Tales and read The Three Spinners, which is told and illustrated by Catherine Pyle. There was once a girl who was so idle and lazy that she would do nothing but sit in the sunshine all day. She would not bake, she would not brew, she would not spin, she would not sew. One morning, her mother lost patience with her entirely and gave her a good beating. The girl cried out until she could be heard even into the street. Now it so chanced the queen of the country was driving by at that time, and she heard the cries. She wished to find out what the trouble was, so she stopped her coach and entered the house. She went through one room after another, and presently she came to where the girl and her mother were.
"What is all this noise?" she asked. "Why is your daughter crying out?"
The mother was ashamed to confess what a lazy girl she had for a daughter, so she told the queen what was not true.
"Oh, your majesty," she cried, "this girl is the worry of my life. She will do nothing but spin all day, and I have spent all my money buying flax for her. This morning she asked me for more, but I have no money left to buy it."
The queen was very much surprised.
"This girl of yours must be a very fine spinner," she said. "You must bring her to the palace, for there is nothing I love better than spinning. Bring her tomorrow, and if she is as wonderful a spinner as I suspect, she shall be to me as my own daughter, and shall have my eldest son as a husband."
When the girl heard she was to go to the palace and spin, she was terrified. She had never spun a thread in her life, and she feared that when the queen found this out, she would be angry and would have her punished. However, she dared say nothing. The next day, she and her mother went to the palace, and the queen received them kindly. The mother was sent home again, but the daughter was taken to a tower where there were three great rooms, all filled with flax.
"See," said the queen, "here is enough flax to satisfy you for a while at least. When you have spun this, you shall marry my son, and after that, you shall have all the flax you want. Now you may begin, and tomorrow I will come to see how much you have done."
So saying, the queen went away, closing the door behind her. No sooner was the girl alone than she burst into tears. Not if she lived 100 years could she spin all that flax. She sat and cried and cried and cried. The next morning, the queen came back to see how much she had done. She was very much surprised to find the flax untouched and the girl sitting there with idle hands.
"How is this?"
she asked.
"Why are you not at your spinning?"
The girl began to make excuses.
"I was so sad at being parted from my mother that I could do nothing but sit and weep."
"I see you have a tender heart," said the queen, "but tomorrow you must begin to work. When I come again, I shall expect to see a whole room full done."
After she had gone, the girl began to weep again. She did not know what was to become of her. Suddenly, the door opened, and three ugly old women slipped into the room. The first had a splay foot. The second had a lip that hung down on her chin. The third had a hideous broad thumb. The girl looked at them with fear and wonder.
"Who are you?"
she asked. The one with the splay foot answered,
"We are three spinners. We know why you are weeping, and we have come to help you. But before we help you, you must promise us one thing. That is that when you are married to the prince, we may come to your wedding feast, that you will let us sit at your table, and that you will call us your aunts."
"Yes, yes, I will,
cried the girl. She was ready to promise anything if they would only help her. At once the splayfoot sat down at the wheel and began to spin and tread. She with the hanging lip moistened the thread, and the woman with the broad thumb pressed and twisted it. They worked so fast that the thread flowed on like a swift stream. Before the next morning, they had finished the whole room full of flax. When the queen came again, she was delighted to find so much done.
"Tomorrow," she said, "you shall begin in the second room."
The next day, the girl was taken into the second room, and it was larger than the first, and was also full of flax. Scarcely had the queen left her when the door was pushed open, and the three old women came into the room.
"Remember your promise,"
they said.
"I remember,"
answered the girl. The old women then took their places and began to spin. Before the next evening, they had finished all the flax that was in the room. When the queen came to look at what had been done, she was filled with wonder. Not only had all the flax in the room been spun, but she had never seen such smooth and even threads.
"Tomorrow," she said, "you shall spin the flax that is in the third room, and the day after, you shall be married to my son."
The third day, all happened just as it had before. The girl was taken to the third room, and it was even larger than the others. Scarcely had she been left alone when the three old women opened the door and came in. The old women took their places, and before night, all the flax was spun. Then they rose.
"Tomorrow will be your wedding day, and we will be at the feast. If you keep your word to us, all will go well with you. But if you forget it, misfortune will surely come upon you."
Then they disappeared through the door as they had come, the eldest first. When the queen came that evening, she was even more delighted than before. Never had she seen such thread, so smooth it was and even. The girl was led down from the tower and dressed in silks and velvets and jewels. And when thus dressed, she was so beautiful that the prince was filled with love and joy at the sight of her. The next day they were married, and a grand feast was spread. To this feast, all the noblest in the land were invited. The bride sat beside her husband, and he could look at no one else. She was so beautiful. Just as the feast was about to begin, the door opened, and the three old women who had spun the flax came in. The prince looked at them wonderingly. Never had he seen such hideous, ugly creatures before.
"Who are these?"
he asked of the girl.
"These,"
she said,
"are my three old aunts, and I have promised they shall sit at the table with us, for they have been so kind to me that no one could be kinder."
The girl then rose and went to meet the old women.
"Welcome, my aunts,"
she said, and led them to the table. The prince loved the girl so dearly that all she did seemed right to him. He commanded that place should be put for the old women, and they sat at the table with him and his bride. They were so hideous, however, that the prince could not keep his eyes off them. At length, he said to the eldest,
"Forgive me, good mother, but why is your foot so broad?"
"From treading the thread, my son, from treading the thread,"
she answered. The prince wondered. He turned to the second old woman.
"And you, good mother," he said, "why does your lip hang down?"
"From wetting the thread,"
she answered.
"From wetting the thread."
The prince was frightened. He spoke to the third old woman.
"And you, why is your thumb so broad, if I may ask it?"
"From pressing and twisting,"
she answered.
"From pressing and twisting."
The prince turned pale.
"If this is what comes of spinning," he said, "never shall my bride touch the flax again."
And so it was. Never was the girl allowed even to look at a spinning wheel again. And that did not trouble her, as you may guess. As for the old women, they disappeared as soon as the feast was over, and no one saw them again. But the bride lived happily forever after. The moral of this story is one that girls and boys of any age should always remember. Hard work is valued by people. Your hard work will be recognized, and you will be rewarded. I just love reading stories, don't you? You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. Have you ever heard of the phrase, a creature of habit? Well, if you don't know what that is, it refers to someone who has an unvarying routine. For instance, I remember when I was very little, I'd have Malto meal for breakfast every morning. It's similar to what some creatures do to some extent, even though I would eventually grow out of that routine. But for creatures like crabs, their routine of walking sideways can never change. I'd like to tell you the story of a mother crab who tried to teach her son to walk forwards instead of sideways. And this one is called The Young Crab and His Mother by Aesop.
Why in the world do you walk sideways like that?
Said a mother crab to her son.
You should always walk straight forward with your toes turned out.
Show me how to walk, mother dear,
answered the little crab obediently.
I want to learn.
So the old crab tried and tried to walk straight forward, but she could walk sideways only, like her son. And when she wanted to turn her toes out, she tripped and fell on her nose. Boy, that's gotta hurt for the mother crab. And the moral of this story is, do not tell others how to act unless you can set a good example. Have you ever wanted a little lamb for a pet? Maybe you'd like to take it to school when you got it. Well, this nursery rhyme will help you imagine Mary taking a little lamb to school one day. And it's called Mary Had a Little Lamb. So come along and sing along.
Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, Mary went, Mary went. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It followed her to school one day, school one day, school one day. It followed her to school one day, which was against the rules. It made the children laugh and play, laugh and play, laugh and play. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. And so the teacher turned it out, turned it out, turned it out. And so the teacher turned it out, but still it lingered near. And waited patiently about, patiently about, patiently about, and waited patiently about till Mary did appear. Why does the lamb love Mary so, Mary so, Mary so? Why does the lamb love Mary so? The eager children cried. Why Mary loves the lamb, you know, lamb, you know, lamb, you know. White as snow.
Don't go anywhere. We will return with more Tristan Storytime in just a moment. Have you ever gone up in a swing on the playground? Well, if you haven't, you may want to check it out, because swinging almost makes you feel like you're actually flying through the blue sky above. Sure, you may not actually be able to fly, but swinging up and down with the wind blowing across your face can help you imagine that you can. I've gone on a swing many times before when I was growing up, and even though I had a good time going on one most of the time, I did have one unpleasant experience, which shall remain undisclosed for now. At any rate, I'd like to introduce you to a classic poem which is an old favorite and has been for many, many years, and it's simply called The Swing by Robert Louis Stevenson. How do you like to go up in a swing, up in the air so blue? Oh, I do think it the pleasantest thing ever a child can do. Up in the air and over the wall, till I can see so wide.
rivers, and trees, and cattle and all, over the countryside. Till I looked down on the garden green, down on the roof so brown, up in the air I go flying again, up in the air and down. How do you like to go up in a swing, up in the air so blue? Oh, I do think it the pleasantest thing ever a child can do. Next time on a special edition of Tristan Storytime, it's our episode of Threes. First up, Goldilocks visits the home of the three bears. Next, the three little pigs build houses, and the wolf comes to blow them down. But what will happen when the wolf attempts to devour the third little pig, especially when it comes to timeliness? Next, the three Billy Goats Gruff attempt to cross the bridge, but they must encounter a grumpy old troll along the way, followed by the song, My Hat, It Has Three Corners. And finally, an old woodcarver and his wife earn three wishes. Will they be put to good use? That's next time on Tristan Storytime. Well, that just about wraps things up for today, but before we go, I want to remind you of a few last-minute pieces of information that I think you should know. First of all, if you enjoyed listening to this episode, there are plenty more exciting episodes on any of the podcast platforms you chose today. Also, you can follow Tristan Storytime on any of the social media platforms where you'll find video clips of stories I read on past shows every Thursday at 4 p.m., and you can find it all on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. In addition, you can find Tristan Storytime on Discord. And as you've noticed, music and sound effects will be included with every story I read. Every day, we're always finding new ways for all of us to grow together. Oh, and one last thing. If you have a classic family-friendly story idea that you'd like me to read on a future show, such as a picture book story, fairy tale, a fable from Aesop, or a poem, just send an email to TristanStorytime@gmail.com. That's Tristan Storytime, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And that's without the apostrophe. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again soon. So until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember to keep using your imaginations, because I use mine to help you use yours. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The Story of the Little Old Woman Who Lived in a Shoe, taken from the book My First Picture Book by Joseph Martin Cronheim, published in 1871 by George Routledge and Sons. The Three Spinners, taken from the book Mother's Nursery Tales, told and illustrated by Catherine Pyle, published in 1918 by E.P. Dutton and Company. The Young Crab and His Mother, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Milo Winter, published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Mary Had a Little Lamb, written by Sarah Josepha Hale, originally published in 1830 as Mary's Lamb. Music arrangement by the Green Orbs. The Swing, taken from the book A Child's Garden of Verses by Robert Louis Stevenson, illustrated by Bessie Collins Pease, published in 1905 by the Dodge Publishing Company.